Opa Hatsia Wise is here to talk about her new novel, No Place to Hide, and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Opa.
Hi, Charlotte. Thank you so much for having me on.
Tell us about your new novel.
Well, you know, Charlotte, I've been intrigued by the classic structure of the hero or heroine's journey coined by Joseph Campbell, and No Place to Hide is a modern twist of that journey about a queer mixed-race protagonist, Smith Windwalker Daniels. She's seeking to find meaning in her life and comes face-to-face with the most important growth journey that she'll ever take. And more than that, not only does her fate hang in the balance, but the fate of others. She's confronted with an impossible choice, and she must choose between her own safety and her commitment to justice. And even wound within this description, the story loosely examines issues around racial and indigenous discrimination, our ingrained limiting beliefs, and the innate human need for belonging.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
You know, I can be a talker, and during the course of casual conversations with people, I noticed that far too many people rarely read self-help or self-improvement books. If they read, it's usually some form of genre fiction. So during the same period, I was participating in a year-long program that would serve as an adjunct to my work as a life coach and speaker. And one day, as I was working through my material, I had the inspiration to write a book of fiction that would incorporate some of the basic life principles that I was exposed to. Now, at first, I just kind of flipped it away, but I kept getting tapped on my shoulder. And so finally, I was intrigued enough to start writing the story. And as I wrote, the story unfolded before me. I felt like I was channeling the story in so many ways. Found a publisher, and the next thing you know, here this book is coming out.
What do you hope to accomplish with this book?
You know, I hope that people will follow along with Smith's journey and realize that they can let go of their own limiting beliefs that says that they can't do a thing. And I want people to begin to dream again and to dream big. Stop giving into fear, you know, that thing that's really nothing more than fantasized events appearing real. Stop giving into it. In all my years on this planet, I bumped into far too many people who have allowed themselves to become disenfranchised with their own hopes and dreams. They give into fear, all the whys that they can't do a thing. They give into naysayers that tell them that they can't do or be or have what they want to have. And especially within the queer community that we're beginning to truly live out loud, live our authentic selves, I simply want to add my voice to their chorus and allow people to think and shift their perspective of the way life is and to live the life that they want to live.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
You know, for people who want to shift into a more abundant life, however they define abundance, I want them to know that that's possible. It just simply requires that we take more responsibility for our path, perhaps blaming and complaining, right? It's always so-and-so did something, and it's the reason why I can't do what I need to do. I want people to recognize that all they have to do is begin to ask probably one of the most empowering questions that they could ever ask of themselves. And that is, what do you want? What do you want out of your life? What do you want? Write it down. But what's interesting about that question is that most people, they don't know. They know what they don't want. But when I am sitting across from a client, and I ask that question, there's a blankness in their eyes. You can just see it. And so my work is to provide the space for people to examine the question and get some clarity. I think the other piece for me is that I want people to begin to recognize that they belong, first to themselves and then to everything else around them. They're connected to everything. You know, so many of my clients come in and they are disconnected, not only from their bodies, but from everyone else. And the reality is our presence on this earth indicates that we belong. And especially for our community, they've been told for so long that we don't belong. I want to ingrain within our community that the story that they were told about not belonging, or perhaps even the story they told themselves about not belonging, that story, it's a lie.
You live in Nevada. In these challenging political times, how are you coping?
It's the uncertainty of it all, right? But the circumstances that I find myself in, I finally have learned, are actually opportunities. I know that I can't control what's happening in Nevada right now as they're counting the ballots. I can't control the fact that there are some 60 million people that voted for our current administration to continue their reign. But I can influence my reaction to those events as they unfold. So I tend to meditate a lot. I wake up at between 4:30 and 5 o'clock, and before my brain starts its brand of woe and anxiety, I pick up a pen and paper, and I begin to write out 10 things that I'm grateful for. Sounds kind of hokey, but it actually works. Studies are showing that the position of gratefulness rewires our brain so that we have more capacity to see things as they are rather than what's in our head. And we can expand our experience of joy. So, you know, and they have to, they're easy things. I can be grateful for clean water to drink, a safe place to live, clothes on my back, some food to eat, no matter how much or how little. I also find what I do is remind myself to remain in the present moment. Because when I'm looking too far into the future, wishing my present circumstances were different than how they actually are, I find I don't cope well. I don't. And when I'm not coping well and I can recognize that, I come back to my breath and ground myself into my body. I can literally focus in on the inhalation of my breath and then the exhalation of my breath, recognize that I'm okay, and I can continue on. Of course, seeking out different groups helps as well on social media. And I participate in several like-minded Zoom calls a month with people that can uplift me.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids in these times?
I would say to our youth that, like you, none of us are okay right now, right? We have the pandemic, racial strife, political climate. None of us are okay right now. And I know that there are those times for you, especially when you are being bullied, that you may feel as though you are not okay. And it's normal to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. But what's not okay is that you don't reach out. Reach out. Let the people who love you support you. And know that if there are times that you feel as though you don't belong, you really do. So I would ask that you think about your community, you think about your friends, and recognize that you belong to them as well. But mostly you belong to yourself. And you are perfect, and you are whole. I've been where you've been as a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult. I thought of suicide. But I also recognize that I had an opportunity to reach out to people who love me, and they got me through it. You'll get through this as well.
How can people get information about No Place to Hide?
You can go to my website, opahasiawise.com, and get all the information that you want. It will link you to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and IndieBooks. So, yeah, that's the easiest place.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, right now I'm drafting the second book in the series. No Place to Hide was the first, so I'm working on the second book. I tend to hold groups, small groups, closed groups right now, to navigate through these troubling times. So I would suggest for anyone that might be interested in reaching out, reach out to my website.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Yes. So this is the thing, Charlotte. I look different. And for some people, that difference is intimidating. I wish that people would look beyond my appearance and simply engage me in conversation. Ask me, who are you? What do you do? My answer is always the same. I'm simply a traveler who loves to coach for a living and writes engaging novels that help people become entertained, and they might actually learn something along the way.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through these difficult times?
I do. My favorite mantra is actually tattooed on my arm, and it reads, "What if there is no problem?" In other words, what if everything that is happening around me is happening for my benefit? What if there is no problem? It means that instead of looking at something that appears to be a negative, that there is something in it for me to learn, to expand my understanding. I look at this political crisis as an opportunity. I don't see it necessarily as a problem. I see it as an opportunity to expand my belief system, shift my belief system. If I'm thinking about someone as the other, perhaps they're not. Perhaps we have more in common than I think we do. So if I engage, if I take the next step and I engage someone, I might learn something new. So what I thought was a problem, who I thought was a problem, is not a problem at all. There was no problem. What if there is no problem?